All right, if you would open up your Bibles to the book of Philippians tonight. It doesn't need to be too loud, Fred. I'll probably get louder here. I want to try to speak up for those on Zoom tonight as well, so that they can hear. All right, so if you'd open up your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2 here tonight. We'll have a word of prayer again quick here before I speak and ask the Lord for wisdom and direction with His word tonight, and then we'll begin. Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, God, thank you again for tonight for an opportunity to open your word. We pray, God, again that you'd give me what I stand in need of, God, for just a willingness to share your word, God, to your people. As we know, it's the message of the cross, God, that is impactful. It's the message of Jesus Christ and the grace of God that can encourage us and edify us as well. We thank you, God, again for who you are and for what you've done, God. And we pray for the hearers tonight as well, that, again, they would be challenged by you and your word and be encouraged, God. And, again, as believers, we'd be growing in the grace and the knowledge of you. So we thank you again for tonight, and we thank you for these things now. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, Philippians chapter 2 tonight, and again, I thought if, again, I didn't print the handout tonight, but if you wanted to go on the website and look at it, at least you'd see the outline. And I thought I'd start off tonight with a question. I've got a question for you here tonight. And the question is this: if you were to pick a Bible character that you really admire, one that encourages you to press on in the Christian life, even when there's difficulties or trials, who would it be? Who would you pick? You see, at the last men's camping trip, we had the opportunity to hear about 6 different messages about Bible characters that were all great examples for us in the Christian life. Some of the messages were like Poochie taught about the Apostle Peter and how you can learn to enjoy and grow during this lifelong maturing process. Nathan taught on Noah. And of course, not his son Noah, but the Bible character Noah. And where we learned how you can trust God even if we don't understand his ways. We also learned that past victories do not guarantee future success. And if you want some more information about that, you got to talk to Nathan. That was a good message. We learned about the courage of Daniel, of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and about going through the fiery furnace, and how they choose not to bow down to the king and to his statue, but instead chose to trust in their God. And they did it with courage. We learned that to be eager listeners and to be doers of God's word from the story of 1 Samuel chapter 2 with Samuel and with Eli. And after, in the beginning, after Eli was calling, after thinking that Eli was calling Samuel 3 times, finally, he was told he needed to speak to the Lord. It was the Lord who was calling him. And he said, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." And that's how we can hear God's voice as well. We need to hear God's voice through his word tonight. And so our prayer here tonight is, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." This was a very challenging message to even myself. And how often do I come to God with this posture, "Speak, Lord, for your servant hears." So perhaps one of these characters would have been the one of your choice, your favorite. Of course, there's hundreds of examples in the Bible, both Old and New Testament. But of the characteristics that are most important, those are the ones that model the attitude of pleasing the Lord. But I bet none of you can guess here what I taught on. And I think I used the best example in scriptures. Right? So you might have known that I kind of cheated, all right? I used the example of Jesus Christ. Yeah, the ultimate example, right? So I kind of cheated. It was funny. Afterwards, I had a believer come up to me and say, "Well, that was a really Christ-honoring message." I said, "Well, yeah, there you go. Praise the Lord," right? Because it was all about Christ. You know, I kind of cheated because we know that Jesus Christ was perfect, right? He was perfect in his deity. He's God. But yet he became a man. We read in Hebrews 4:15 that we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but he was on all points tempted as we are, but yet he was without sin. Now, I didn't use Jesus Christ just because I thought I would have the greatest example. In fact, the reason I did use it was because of my studies through the book of Philippians. As you know, I've been studying the book of Philippians, and I recently had taught Philippians 2 in verses 5 through 8. I taught that in Antigo, and I have not taught it here yet, but it really just encouraged me with the example or the mindset of Jesus Christ. So if you're in the book of Philippians, look there at Philippians chapter 2 with me. Philippians chapter 2. And let's just read verses 5 through 8 here tonight. Paul says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God." But how did he think? "But he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant in coming in the likeness of men. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. And he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." So you'll see here tonight that our role model is Jesus Christ. And although he could do things that we never could, yet he had a way of thinking that we can all have and choose here today for ourselves. You see, Paul's admonition in verse 5 is what? It's a command. It says, "Let this mind be in you." So you are to commanded to think the way Jesus Christ thought as your example, to have this mind thinking. So tonight we're going to see from these verses, verses 5 through 8, three main character qualities that we can learn from Jesus Christ. Of course, Jesus Christ being perfect and so much written about him, we could study him for days and days and days. In fact, if you want, you can go online to Itasca Bible Church. And I think Pastor Sean's at about, 125, 130 on message number on teaching on the life of Jesus Christ. So there is just a ton of stories and information that we can glean from Jesus Christ. But from these verses tonight, we're going to focus on just three of his attributes. Tonight we're going to see Christ's example to follow in his humility, being obedient, and being of a servant mindset. You know, thinking about being a humble, obedient servant, let me ask you a question here tonight, and for those of you that are here, let me ask you, how many of you here think you're really good at being humble? Go ahead, just raise your hands if you think you're really good at being humble, right? Nobody raises their hands, of course. Actually, at the men's camping trip, I did have a couple of kids raise their hand, right? So no adults dared to think, yeah, I'm really good at this humble thing, because as soon as you did that, what? You lost your humility. Oh, how about being obedient? How many of you think you're really good at being obedient? Yep, I agree, Kevin, you are. How about being a slave or a servant? How many of you are, yep, that's my mindset. All I do is serve, serve, serve. Right? You know, so these are all character qualities that we would all do well to take a lesson from Jesus Christ. You see, whether you're young or you're old, I'm thinking that these are all areas that God can work on in each of our lives. You see, since the goal of the Christian life is to grow and to be transformed into Christ's image, I think a study of some of his characteristics is well worth our time. But again, the first characteristic we want to note here tonight is that of Jesus Christ being humble and being humble. And where do we see in the Bible that Jesus Christ was humble? And again, to be humble, just definition here, means to choose to bring yourself to a low position in order to benefit somebody else. That's what it means. It means to lower yourself in order to benefit someone else. And I use the example at the men's camping trip of, you know, sometimes young boys like to think they're really tough and they try to lift up adults. Like Leighton right now, that's his biggest goal is, he can lift mom up now, and now his next goal is to lift dad up. And I said, boys, how do you lift somebody up? Do you just wrap your arms around them and go like this, right? Is that what you do, Leighton? What did we say? No,
You got to squat down a little bit, right? You got to get low. In order to lift somebody up, you got to get low. And that's what humility is. It's really making yourself low. And when you think of Jesus Christ, how do you think he displayed humility? And we read about it here in Philippians, but we're going to also see a couple other spots in Scripture. When you think about it, remember, Jesus Christ is God who became a man, and he came to be Israel's king, right? And when you think of the king of Israel coming into town, you know, how do you think of him presenting himself? You know, you think of a king, right, presenting himself and coming with his entourage. In fact, how many of you have ever seen the movie Aladdin in here? You ever see that movie before? You see the newer one with Will Smith? And remember when Aladdin, and he claims to be Prince Ali, and how he presents himself to the kingdom, to the princess, so he can try to impress her. Was he humble in that presentation? In fact, I think I got a video clip.
Put away in the old bazaar. Hey, you, let us through. It's a brand new star. Oh, come be the first on your block to meet his eye. Make way, here he comes. Ring bells, play the drums. You're gonna love this guy. Prince Ali, fabulous. He, Ali Ababa. Show some respect, boy, genuflect. Down on one knee. Now try your best to stay calm. Brush up your Friday salon. Then come and meet his spectacular coterie. Prince Ali, my dear's he, Ali Ababa.
Is that how Jesus Christ came and presented himself? Now, would you call Prince Ali here humble? What do you think? Was that a pretty humble appearance? No, of course not. But when you think of Jesus Christ, think about this. He is God who became a man. You would think something like this when he came in, you know? He would have his entourage, right? And everybody would have to bow down to him. But that's not how Jesus Christ came. He came to offer himself, and he came in the form. In fact, Hebrews 2:9 tells us that he made himself a little lower than the angels, a little lower. There's that idea of humility, right? You know, he was God who was above the angels, who is above the angels, and he became a man, lower than the angels. He came in humility. So we see, first of all, Jesus Christ's humility in his birth, right? When Jesus Christ was born, was he born in a castle? No, he was born in a stable, right? He wasn't born in the palace. He was born in a stable. Remember, Jesus Christ is God. He is the sovereign king of the universe, and he came 2,000 years ago, and he came to offer himself as Israel's king. And again, yet he humbled himself, and he came as a humble baby, and he came to earth a little lower than the angels. You know, thinking about this, when you think of being humble and being superior to other people, you know, think about the most popular person you might know. In fact, how many of you have ever met a professional sports player? Has anybody ever met one before? Pretty cool, huh? They're pretty special. These guys are awesome, right? They're pretty awesome. And so you might have met them before. Let me ask you this. Have they ever come over to your house? No, probably not. Why not? Well, you know, they're not so humble, right? They wouldn't hang out with us lower class people, right? You know, but instead, what do we see of Jesus Christ? You know, Jesus Christ is God who created the whole world. He is God. He is a creator. Colossians 1:16 says, says, "For by him all things were created that are in heaven and on earth." Colossians 2:9 tells us that in him all the fullness of the Godhead dwells bodily. All the fullness. Jesus Christ, who was God, who became a man. Theologically, we say Jesus Christ is deity. And these verses really emphasize the deity of Christ. How about John 1:14? We see it in his coming. Jesus Christ wasn't too good to come to earth. You know, unlike those professional sports players that might be too good to come to your house, Jesus Christ came. And the Word became flesh and it dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. You see, the Word became flesh and what? Dwelt among us. Jesus Christ came to live among us. You see, for the you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might become rich. So Jesus Christ was humble in his coming to earth, but we also see it in his living. You know, when you think of, again, these sports players, who do they associate with? Other famous people, right? But who did Jesus Christ associate with when he came to earth? You think about it. You know, it says in Matthew 9, in verses 10 through 11, if you have your Bibles, you can always turn there with me as well. Otherwise, I do have some of these verses on PowerPoint tonight. And it says that it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat with him and his disciples. You see, he wasn't too good for them. And the Pharisees, they saw it and they're thinking, what's this guy doing? What's he doing? And they said to his disciples, why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and with sinners? You know, they were just blown away that Jesus Christ, God who became a man, would associate with these tax collectors and with these sinners. In fact, even Jesus' own disciples were amazed by who he chose to hang out with. If you know the story of Jesus and the woman at the well in John chapter 4, remember when he said, I need to go through Samaria, and I need to go there. Why? Because there's this woman. He had a divine appointment with this woman at the well. And the disciples went off to buy food or to get food. And so Jesus is there all alone, and she's blown away. First of all, she says, what are you doing talking to me? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. So he blows her away. And then he gives her the message that he came to give her everlasting water for that she would never thirst again. But then his disciples come back. And it says in John that they were amazed that he sat there with this woman. First of all, a Samaritan, and secondly, a woman. Because culturally, in their culture, you just didn't do that. But yet Jesus Christ broke down all of those cultural barriers. He didn't care who you were, what your background was, or what even age you were. You know, in fact, in their culture as well, children were often looked down upon as second-class citizens, as lower citizens. Remember when the little children were coming to Jesus and his disciples said, no, what are you guys doing? No, this is Jesus, right? You're not good enough to come to him. What did Jesus say? Let the little children come to me. Jesus had time for everyone. Jesus had opportunities to minister because he knew that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Not the rich, not the famous, not who he was going to associate with. In fact, we read in Philippians 2:7, if you're still turning there with me, he made himself of what? No reputation. So let me ask you a question here tonight. What is your reputation when you think of who you are and what you're known for? You know, what is your reputation? What are you trying to portray maybe as your reputation? You know, are you one of those cool guys in school, you know, that are always trying to impress people and so you do things maybe you know you shouldn't to impress them? How about at work or with your neighbors? You know, are you trying to keep up with the Joneses so that you have this reputation of you belong? But we would do well here to take a lesson in humility from Jesus Christ and how he lived and who he chose to associate with. We could also ask the question, this is, who are you too good to associate with and to talk to? You know, do you look at people and see different classes, different races, different backgrounds that would maybe prohibit you from talking to them? Or do you see them as a soul for whom Christ died? A soul, a precious soul in the sight of God, whom Christ died for, and you could have the opportunity to witness to. But thirdly, we see Jesus Christ not only being humble in his birth and his life, but also in his death. In fact, you see here in Philippians 2:7 again and 2:8, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men. And being found as appearance, he humbled himself and he became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. You see, Jesus Christ willingly died on the cross for your sins. Have you ever thought about that before? You know, Jesus Christ, being God, had all the power in the world to get off the cross, right? He could have called 10,000 angels, right? Literally, to set himself free. In fact, Luke tells us in Luke 2:49, and he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" Actually, this isn't the verse that I wanted. In John 10:18, let's just skip this one verse here. Do you see John 10:18 there? There we go. "No one," Jesus said, "takes my life from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again." Jesus Christ had all the power to lay down his life, and yet he chose to do it. Jesus Christ chose to humble himself and to become obedient, even to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Do you think Jesus Christ wanted to die on the cross? Do you think he wanted to die? No. That was one of the most excruciating ways to die. And in fact, it was one of the most humbling ways to die. Do you remember the story that they stripped him of his clothes? Why would they do that? Why would they do that? To humiliate him, right? To humiliate him. What a humbling experience. Could you imagine that? Not only hanging on the cross, dying, but also hanging there naked, being humiliated, being mocked. People spitting at you saying, "He saved others, let him save himself." And Jesus Christ could have, but yet he chose not to because of his humility. So again, what an example for us here. And the question I might ask you again is, what has God called you to do? Now, he may never call you to sacrifice your life and to die, but yet you might have to die to your pride. What has God called you to do that you might have to humble yourself and be willing to do? And to be a servant, and really, as we'll see here more tonight, is that mindset of what are you willing to do? But the second characteristic we want to see tonight from Jesus Christ's example in Philippians 2 is that of being obedient. Jesus Christ was obedient. And it says in Philippians 2:8, Jesus Christ, found in appearance as man, he humbled himself and became obedient. Obedient to the point of death. So Jesus Christ, did you know that Jesus Christ, being God, still had to obey? He still had to obey. In fact, did you know as a child, Jesus Christ had to obey his parents? So children, do you think it's important for you to obey your parents? Jesus Christ did. Remember the story in Luke chapter 2 when Jesus was 12 years old and they had gone to Jerusalem to the temple, and then his parents left, going back to Nazareth, and they thought Jesus was with them. And it's one of those parent moments, right, where you all of a sudden you're like, "Where's my kid? I've lost my kid! Where is he?" And not only was he not with them, he wasn't even in the same town. They had to travel back to Jerusalem. And they found Jesus in the temple. And Jesus here is kind of surprised, like, "Hey, what's going on, guys? Didn't you know I was here?" He says in Luke 2:49, and he said to them, "Why do you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my Father's business?" But his parents, they didn't understand the statement which he spoke to them. But so then what did Jesus do? He went down with them, and he came back to Nazareth. And he was subject, or the translation can read, obedient to them. but his mother kept all these things. So Jesus Christ even obeyed his parent. So again, children, we all know the verse, right? Ephesians 6:1. Does everybody know it? What is it? Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. So we know that verse, right? But adults, do you think you have to be obedient? You know, sometimes kids always say, I can't wait to grow up because then I can do whatever I want. I don't have to obey anybody. But adults, don't we have to obey? Yeah, exactly, Joy. In Ephesians 6, 5, Paul goes on to exhort bondservants, and we could apply that to employees today. Bondservants, be obedient to your masters, right? So parents, adults, we have to obey our bosses. What about the government? In 1 Peter chapter 2 and Romans 13, we have to obey the government, right? If they make a law that says you have to do these things, unless you're going to practice civil disobedience and obey God rather than men, we are to obey our government. So we do certain things where we obey our government. We pay our taxes. And again, did you know that Jesus Christ even paid the tax? Remember the story where he told Peter to get the fish and get the coin out of his mouth so that they could pay their temple tax? So Jesus Christ said, even though I don't have to pay the tax, he said, let's do it for conscience sake. So Jesus Christ even paid taxes. So adults, we have to be obedient. In fact, how do we see Jesus Christ being obedient? Again, we know that Jesus Christ didn't want to die on the cross for our sins. This is the verse I was thinking of before. Luke 22:42. It says, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Jesus Christ didn't want to suffer and die on the cross. And he said, nevertheless, not my will be done, but yours be done. You see, Jesus Christ had this obedient attitude, even as an adult. He decided that he was going to obey the Father's will. So adults, do you think it's important to be obedient? Yeah, I think so. Children, do you think it's important to be obedient? Absolutely. What, again, we can take a lesson here from the life of Christ and see that how we can be obedient in the Christian life. And yet, again, and this is only by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we'll read later when we study the book of Philippians. Philippians 2:13 says that it's actually God who works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, again, we can't just obey out of our own strength, or as Pastor has told us many times, you don't obey to be spiritual, but you need to be spiritual in order to obey. So this obedience only flows out of a relationship with Jesus Christ and being connected and abiding with him. But for the last thing we want to study tonight is why. Why should we be obedient? And to see that, we're looking at the last characteristic of Jesus Christ here tonight, and that is of having this servant attitude or this servant mindset. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2, we read that Jesus Christ, let's see, in verse 7 now, but he made himself of no reputation, and he actually took on the form of a what? Of a bondservant. Of a bondservant. And you know what a bondservant did? Really, it's the same Greek word here, a slave. What was a slave in the first century? What was their role? It was to do the will of another, no matter what. In fact, what we read is that slaves or servants in those times owned nothing. They had no possessions, zero, absolutely nothing. And yet, they themselves were owned by someone else. And yet, they had this position where they had to do the will of the master no matter what. And we can update it for us today here as bondservants of Jesus Christ. Really, what's our duty? And again, by the grace of God, it means meeting the needs of another. And it's by the grace of God because it's the will of God. In fact, Philippians chapter 2 is all about servanthood. And in fact, we missed the first section here. Let's just read Philippians 1, or chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, where Paul says, "Therefore, if there's any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any affection and mercy, now fulfill my joy." How? By being like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Here's the admonition, verse 3. "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but what? In lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves." There's that idea of humility, lowliness of mind. "Let each esteem others better than himself." Verse 4. "Let each of you look out not only for your own interests, but also for the interests of others." You see, the reason why God wants us to obey Him in His will is so that we would be a servant and that we would serve others for His honor and for His glory. See, remember, where is the body of Christ today? We are, right? The church is Christ's body. And really, I always think about it as this, as, you know, when Jesus Christ walked the earth, He did many signs and miracles, and He did all these amazing things. But then Jesus Christ ascended into heaven, and he started His church, which is what? A called-out assembly of believers. A body. What are we to do? We're to be working together, encouraging one another, striving together for the faith of the gospel. And we're to be working with one another, serving one another in love. Ephesians chapter 4 is all about the servants in the body of Jesus Christ. And really, we're His hands and His feet on the earth today. We're His body. What opportunities do you have in your sphere of influence, with your time, with your talents, and with your treasures, to be a servant of Jesus Christ? So let me ask you here tonight, do you see that God has given you a mission as believers in Jesus Christ? That He's commissioned you, that you'd proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world? That you would be about your Heavenly Father's business and be willing to open your mouth for Jesus Christ to the lost, maybe at the fairs this summer or other places of influence? May you be a light and a testimony to those around you, even that are saved. Maybe you could encourage someone. Maybe you could send someone a note that you're praying for them. Maybe encourage them with a verse that the Lord has put on your heart. And let me ask you here this morning, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, is if you were to die tonight and you were to go before the gates of heaven, and Jesus Christ was to ask you, "Why should I let you in?" What would you say? What would be your response? And what that question really gets at is this, is who or what are you really trusting in order to get to heaven? And now most people would answer that and would say it's something that they've done, something that they've worked for. But instead, the gospel message, the good news message of the Bible is that even though you couldn't save yourself, see, the bad news is you can never work your way to heaven. Romans 3:23 is clear. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the good news is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would just simply believe in Him would have everlasting life. John 1:12 says, "But as many as received Him, to them He gave the right to become the children of God, even to those who believe in His name." So my prayer here is for you to all know for sure, 100%, that you are saved. And that if you are saved here today, is that realize that God has a plan for your life. You know, we're out of time here tonight, and I wanted to keep it short. But you can study more on your own, even as Jesus taught more on having the servant mindset, even as He washed the disciples' feet in John 13. That's a great, great illustration of that servant leadership mindset. But again, we see from Scripture that God wants to use us. Romans 12, 1 and 2 is clear, that we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. So the question is for you as believers, are you willing to serve the Lord? We saw again from our example of Jesus Christ, who willingly made himself a little lower than the angels. He humbled himself, that he came in the form of a bondservant, had no reputation, and then he became obedient to the point of death, even the terrible, horrific death of the cross. So the question again for us is, are we willing to live a humble, obedient, servant-minded life by the grace of God, all for the glory of God? Let's pray here tonight. Our dear, gracious Heavenly Father, God, thank you again for tonight. Thank you again, God, for the privilege that we have to open your word, God, to be able to study the example of Jesus Christ. And again, about a humble, servant, obedient mindset, God, that we as believers would let that mind be in us also, God, that we would just meditate on the life of Christ, that we would allow you to work in and through us, God, that we could be a light and a testimony for you in a dark world, that we could be encouraging one another, serving one another here, even in the body, even at Grace Gospel Bible Church. So we, God, again, are privileged to be able to open your scriptures, study it here tonight. Thank you for those that have come here tonight. Thank you for those that were online, even on Zoom. And we just thank you again for these things now, and we commit this evening to you. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.